Everyone has a textbook or you don't. Right. Do you have a textbook? Dharma nature. Do you have? Oh. I think this chapter is a little difficult for you to understand. I don't know. We have studied until Basel's statement. Today I would like to review anyway. I think the first of all, maybe we should think about what the nature of a thing. What did Dogen Zenji try to say about Dharma nature or the nature of things? What is it? What is this kind? I think according to general experience, I think there are mainly three points. First experience, first one, this is that which everyone can experience, this one. The first one and the second one. The first one, I think whatever you study or practice, first of all, you have to be present in the dualistic world, subject and object. Even in this, in the natural circumstances of this kind, I think first of all you have to put yourself in the natural circumstances of this kind and realize the fact that the you and the nature are separated. I think this is an inevitable situation for everyone. So you have to do this. And gradually, you put yourself in this nature, gradually you start to listen to the voice of nature and serve it. In the state of listening to, state of the process of listening to and serving nature, I think you can experience inspiration or communication, pretty deep communication between you and the nature. So from this point, I think you can see something more than intellectual, but you would say that you are nature, nature is you, through the experience of more communication, intercommunion between the nature and you. So intercommunion between the nature and you comes into existence through practice, which is called listening and serving. Listening means listening to the voice of nature with your six senses, eyes, ears, nose, body, mind, etc. And also serving, actually, you have to serve. You have to devote yourself to serve nature. And then there is a communication. Otherwise, you cannot have you cannot have satisfaction of the relationship between nature and you, which you are very interested in. So very naturally, you have to do this practice. That is a first experience. So I think that the intercommunion between the nature and the you causes to see still something abstract, which the abstract, the what is abstract? Something abstract. Still you don't know what cause interconnection, intercommunion to be between you and nature. So that is a something there, but that something is very abstract. You don't know. You don't know what it is. But through the actual practice, actual everyday life, I think you can feel, you can experience this one. Because everyday life is not something the intellectual or abstract. So you have to always do something, you have to serve, you have to listen to, you have to be a very good listener, you have to be a very good friend, etc. So very naturally you can participate in everyday life through the actual practice. So this is our first experience. So communication, intercommunion. So still there is some sense of a dualistic sense between the nature and you, okay, according to the first experience. Through the second experience, you can see a little bit, the sense of non-dualistic. You can go beyond the dualistic sense. Through the second experience. In other words, the more deeply you can get into the nature, every aspect of your life, daily life, can be something like a beautiful flower blooming in the sphere of nature. So you are not the you separate from the nature. You are just like a flower in the nature. So every aspect of your life becomes a flower blooming in the nature. If you go the more deeply into the nature, the more you feel deeply your life, just like a blooming flower in the nature. So your life is not separated. Your life is not something separate from nature. So between you and nature, There is nothing to secret. There is nothing to hide. There is nothing going beyond. So everything, your everyday life is exactly, opening, in public. In public means exactly in nature. So from this point, I think this is an experience of oneness, you may say, oneness between nature and you. Okay. This is a second experience, the second stage of your experience. So the second stage of our experience is the realization of the fact that you can go beyond dualism. So everyday life is, your everyday life is not usual everyday life. People usually thought, but your life is exactly penetrating into the nature. So everyday life is exactly everyday life of nature. Okay, we can say. Then the third experience you can have
a certain doubt, not doubt or questions. What make it possible for you to experience first and second? What causes you to experience this first and second? First, you know, in the first one, I think you are in a dualistic, but you can go beyond dualistic and you can experience something real. And the second, you can go beyond completely dualistic, and your everyday life is penetrating into, anyway, the nature itself. So this is the second. So first and second, how can you bring those first one, second into existence? This is a question. You know, that is a kind of a continual voice. What make it possible for you to experience these and experience them? Okay. Even though you try to ignore, you cannot ignore this one. So, in other words, you try to have the very profound confidence from inside. In other words, voice means what is the inner integrated influence upon first experience, second experience. Is that clear? Is that right? What is the inner integrated influence upon first one, second one? Do you? What it is? What make it possible for you to experience second and third, and first and second? Is that okay? Still, you know? Is that okay? It's a question. Yeah, no, and not asking you. I'm not asking you what I want to say this question. Everyone has this question. Is that clear? In the Buddhism, this is called the Dharma nature. This is called the Buddha Dharma Sangha, okay? Buddha Dharma Sangha. We say triple treasure. Usually, the simplest plain of speaking, this is called truth, we say. Truth. But if you try to know what the truth is, it is divided temporarily into three Buddha Dharma Sangha. But there's invention mentions in the Shobo Genzo, particular chapter, Butsudo, Buddha Way. In this chapter, Dogen Zenji tried to mention about what the Buddha is. What the Buddha is means, or what the Buddhism is. Okay? What the Buddha is. And also, you can see the chapter named Buddha and Buddha. Only Buddha and Buddha. I think you can find Yubutsu, Yobutsu. Buddha, only Buddha and Buddha. Means everyone is Buddha. So table is Buddha, I am Buddha, you are Buddha, everything is Buddha. That is called only Buddha and Buddha. Buddha mentioned, so Shakyamuni Buddha mentioned already 2500 years ago. So what is the Buddha and the Buddha? This is a Sangha, you say. This is a Sangha, this is a person, okay? This is each one of us, okay? And also every sentient beings, every living beings, each single being is Buddha. So this is a Sangha, we say, okay? Sangha. Dogen Zenji mentions the person, what the Dogen Zenji mentions the meaning of the truth, which we are Buddha. Everything is Buddha. In the chapter of Yebutsu, Yebutsu, only Buddha and Buddha. This chapter was written by Dogen toward his end of his life, so it's very easy reading, but pre-religious and pre-deep, so very interesting chapter this one. And also Dogen Zenji mentions about the Buddhist scripture in the Shobo Genzo. This is talking about the Dharma. So in this chapter, nature of the things, I think Dogen Zenji is talking about the scripture and the teacher. Teacher is Buddha. Okay, Buddha. Teacher is person who is Buddha, and the student. Who is a person who is Buddha. So, how should we communicate with the teacher and student in terms of meaning of only Buddha and Buddha, because this is the truth Buddha mentions already. All sentient beings, everything without exception, is Buddha. So in this chapter, Dogen Zenji mentions how to listen to the scripture, how to study the scripture, and also how to serve. How to serve scripture, how to serve teacher. This is kind. So I think you can change the term scripture and the teacher into the term nature. so you can understand. You can understand a little bit through the how to communicate with the nature. You know. So this is this is what we call Dharma. We call Dharma nature. Dharma nature. Is that clear? Third experience. In the third experience, there is something which causes you to experience inner integrations, inner integrated inference upon all kind of spiritual experience you are expected. So there is a something, okay? There is a something. And then any kind of religion, try to put the name on it. This is a God, we say, and many kind of term there. But a Buddhism, try to know what it is. Instead of accepting this, something profound, okay? Something profound, something inconceivable, emotionally means including emotion, feeling, okay? Instead of accepting this something that is profound, inconceivable, with your emotion or sentiment, we try to continue to see through into this something inconceivable or something profound which make all sentient beings to exist in peace and harmony. This is called Buddha, Dharma, Sangha, Triple Treasure. And plainly speaking, sometimes we call Dharma nature. Dharma nature. Okay? So this Dharma, is that clear? Dharma nature. Dharma nature includes Buddha, Dharma, Sangha anyway. But totally we say, as a whole, we say Dharma nature. Something conceivable, something recondite, okay? Something profound. But you don't know what it is, but it's there. Spiritually, you can feel this. And then, not only the feeling, but we have to continue to walk day by day toward this. Something profound, something inconceivable, something recondite. Anyway, we have to move toward that. And in many ways, we have to see through it. That is a Buddhistic way. And from this point, Dharma nature is, Dharma nature is a kind of a huge machine. So everything is interfused. Huge machine. Washing machine, kind of a washing machine. Huge washing machine. It doesn't disappear. Everything doesn't disappear. But it is. Everything is integrated in peace and harmony there. Even though we have five skandhas, anyway, integrated there. And no flame of five skandhas there. And also self, even though we say self, if you get into this Dharma nature, I think a flame of a self, a flame of consciousness, flame of subjectivity, all melted away, interfused. So that is called no self. And also no object, something like that. And then the chapter of this, chapter of the nature of things, Dharma nature, I think the Dogen Zenji mentions you can attain enlightenment without teacher. Means in the first stage of experience, you see the teacher and student, okay, still dualistic. But if you continue to listen to and serve teacher and scriptures very naturally, right in the middle of dualistic world, you can see, you can touch something interesting. Okay, so that is the so-called intercommunion. You can see everyone is interested in relationship between the teacher and students. Obviously, you have a question. So, what is the relationship between, you know? But in the beginning, you don't understand it. In a dualistic sense, you don't understand the definition of a relationship. For instance, nature and you don't understand the definition of a relationship between nature and you. You don't. Even though you have a definition, that definition is not exactly perfect to satisfy, you know, to satisfy your life in the nature. So very naturally, if you want to have a kind of relationship, I think you should continue to listen to the nature and the self. This is very important. Then, right in the middle of dualistic world, some communication there. This is a dynamical, not the concept, not perceptions, not your ideas. You don't know how you can get that experience, but it's coming up. So, very naturally, there is, and then the second, according to second level of experience, I think no teacher there, and no self there, because teacher and scriptures are infused in the sphere of the Dharma nature, sphere of the truth. So if you continue practice, you can reach the second stage of spiritual experience. So very naturally, no self, and no teacher, no scripture. And that time, that means your life is blooming in the realm of scripture. Wherever you see your life, you really appreciate your life, because it is your life, it is not your life, it is the scripture's life. So you can see the beautiful flower, you can see your each aspect of your life blooming flower. Where? Not in your territory, in the scripture, Buddhist world. And also in the teacher's life, it's really blooming. And that time, that is called non-dualism. You can go beyond. But it's go beyond doesn't mean you should get something abstract. No, it's something alive, because your life is already not something you do. Okay? Because those first experience and second experience, it can come into existence naturally because there is something inconceivable, profound, recondite. Okay. So this is natural. So all are, anyway, are working together, first one, second one, subject and object are always working in the sphere of Dharma nature, so-called truth. So sooner or later, you can experience no self, no scriptures, no teacher. Then at that time, you can experience directly Dharma itself, coming from your heart. That is called no teacher. Experience enlightenment without teacher, without scripture. This is the point which this chapter tried to mention. And then he uses this Dharma nature samadhi. Okay? Samadhi. This is also, you should understand this one. I think Dharma nature you understand, you know now. Okay? Dharma nature is something in the depth of your life, in the depth of the universe. Okay? This is a universe. Okay? So it is not something you try to get, or you try to get out, or you try to see, or you try to get into, because you are already there. You are already there. So, and also this is the inner integrated influence upon every aspect of your experience. Okay? So, regardless of whether you realize it or not. So, very naturally, Dharma itself works every day, from moment to moment in your life. And then Samadhi means, Samadhi is in Sanskrit, we call Dharma, Dhammata, D-A-M-M-A-T-A, Dhammata, which means continuous activity inherent in the Dhamma itself. Continuous activity. This is called Dhammata. So, Dhamma, everyone is in the Dhamma, which means working constantly beyond your speculation. So, Samadhi means this Dhamma penetrating your skin and the muscle and the bones from moment to moment. This is a samadhi. Constantly. In many ways. This is called samadhi. So Dharma itself penetrates your skin, muscle, bone, and mouth. How do we know? This is called samadhi. Let's do it. Let's concentrate. Let's be exactly present right now, right here. At that time, you can be Dhamma. Your five skandhas, six senses are Dhamma. Then you and the Dhamma are not separate. So you are exactly integrated by Dhamma. So Dhamma penetrates naturally. So, Dhamma penetrates, you penetrate. So, Dhamma and you interconnected. This is called Dhamma nature. Here say, absorption of the nature of things. Okay? So, this Dhamma nature samadhi, is pre-direct experience, you know, with the perfect openness and listening, serving, and then with intercommunion between you and the universe. Okay, and then your life is really blooming every moment in the sphere of nature and the universe. Then you are appreciated. And then continuously, you have to practice this one, then sooner or later you touch the Dhamma itself. Dhamma itself. This is a third experience. Dhamma itself. So what is a Dhamma? Dhamma is continuous activity inherent in Dharma itself. This is your original nature. So how do we know? So 2 points. Dharma itself is very compassionate. Very compassionate. Completely open. So Dharma, from this point, Dharma is continually working with you. Okay? Becoming one. That's why that is a Dharma nature samadhi. Dharma is always constant becoming one with your five skandhas, six senses, whatever you say. So Dharma nature working every day. How do we know? So let's move toward that. That is a practice. Let's listen to this. Let's serve this one. Ha, this is a samadhi. Okay? We do. So first one, you should know the what is the nature, original nature of your lives. So called, it is called Dharma. Okay? Or truth, we say. Or Buddha, we say. Buddha nature. That is constantly penetrates your life. That is because it is compassionate. It's really open. Everything is interfused there. So we have to know, realize it, because this is a basic principle, very basic reality you have before you try to know intellectually. So you have to realize it. So that is called Dharma nature. Dharma nature, how does it work? So we should know this. Next, how do we experience this one? So let's do it. This is so-called samadhi. So here is a you, here is a Dharma nature, and interconnected, interpenetrated. Finally, you become one. This is a Dharma. Your life is Dharma nature. So in the toward the end of this chapter, little bit complicated statements there. But the point is always the Dogen Zenji always talking about that point. Okay? So it's very complicated because Dharma nature and you, all sentient beings, constantly penetrated, interpenetrated. Okay? That's why if you read this chapter, Dharma nature is you, the Rinzai mentioned Dharma nature is you, and you are Dharma nature. Okay? And also, Basa Zen Master says all living beings for innate, infinite eons have never left absorption in the nature of things. So you never leave absorption of the Dharma nature, because Dharma absorption means the Dharma nature is constantly working with all sentient beings. That is called absorption. Samadhi means Dharma nature itself penetrates constantly. This is a function, process of the Dharma nature. So if we respond to it, Dharma nature responds to you. So that's why we should stick out our hand to the universe and shake your hand. Anyway. So that is the Master Basel says here, all living beings for infinite eons have never left absorption in the nature of things. They are always reading absorption in the nature of things. Wearing clothes, eating, conversing, the functions of six sense organs and all activities, and all are the nature of things. Okay, let's discuss if you have some question. Hi.
If they all are the nature of things, but if we don't open ourselves through samadhi to that nature of things, never allow that life force to move in our life.
So, in more or less, you know, more or less everyone allowed, you realize it. Not exactly, but in many ways, as long as we exist, more or less everyone realizes it. But they don't know how to express it. And also, human world is very complicated, too complicated to express it. So people don't know how to express it. But more or less, everyone experiences anyway. Or even though they don't attain enlightenment in their life, in this life, anyway, maybe next life. So anyways, all sentient beings are walking in the realm of the Dharma nature. That's why Buddha and ancestors obviously express their compassion over them. Okay? Is that your question?
Yeah.
So I don't think you should, basically, you shouldn't discriminate between person who practice Buddha making Buddha Dharma Sangha and people who don't practice.
Yeah.
You can't discriminate.
Right.
Right. That's why if you see the person who don't practice it, you should give your compassion over them constantly.
But could you say the more we open our lives to Dharma nature works in us?
No, it's not. More open means what do you mean more? Yes, listen, dear. This is a very important. This is a very subtle, the seven final goals of religious life. People don't realize. People don't reach that point thoroughly. So most of people are just a one step, or second step, or third step behind. They stop there. And then they believe this is the final goal. But that's what Dogen Zenji has to, toward the end, has to say something that they, very concrete, in concrete way, how consciousness interact. It seems to be interactive, but I don't think it's interactive. We should know how weak we are, because we are stumbled over pretty easily by minute vibration of human consciousness. And the problem is we don't realize it. If we study the Daijo Kishinong and the Awakening of Faith, at that time a Buddha, the Buddha's practice is final stage, so-called Buddha. I think that the Awakening of Faith mentions if you want to be in the stage of Buddha, you have to realize perfectly thoroughly the very minute of conscious functioning, very minute functioning of human consciousness. Very subtle, minute. Then, if you realize that one, which is called be free from. If you don't, still you are tied up by the consciousness. So you have to know really minute vibration of consciousness. This is a final goal to be in the Buddha stage. That's the awakening of faith mentions. So that's what Dogen Zenji has to say, like this, very concrete, not concrete, very minutely. He mentions about how, you know, what is the human consciousness is.
No, all Dharma nature. not more domination or less domination, all domination.
Mm-hmm.
Then human consciousness also is domination.
Domination.
And how is it that my human consciousness inhibits my understanding of domination or my realization if it is itself also domination?
It's domination because the temporary domination. Sometimes they dominate you, even though you inhibit your understanding, you know, your consciousness inhibits you. No, inhibit, inhibit, interrupt.
My human consciousness gets in the way.
Yes, I know. Well, it's possible because you have a really long life, you know, from coming from the past life. So I think there are. There are all this misunderstanding and not perfect understanding. But misunderstanding, perfect understanding, or whatever it is, those are nothing but the blooming flower in the domination. So all you can to do, all you can to do is to take care of the blooming flowers called the misunderstanding or not the misunderstanding. Everything. Anyway, it has blooming flower in the net domination. Instead of dealing with a misunderstanding or not misunderstanding in terms of a dualistic sense. Dualistic sense means you already discriminate. Misunderstanding is wrong. Understanding is perfect. So immediately discriminate. Basically, your attitude toward human life is standing in the realm of Dharma nature, where all beings are integrated. Okay, so that's why you have to take care of the misunderstanding, because we live already in a dualistic world. In other words, Buddhism says you have to see the world as it is. How can we know? How can we see world as it is? But strictly speaking, we don't know, because through the consciousness we always misunderstand the world as it is. So this is a question. That's why first level of experience I mentioned, you have to stand up there. And still you have to continually listen to the voice of Rose as it is. What is it? We have to still talking with, asking to the Rose, asking to yourself, do you see exactly Rose as it is or not? We have to continue. Then, even though you don't or you do, we have to see, all we have to do is to listen to the voice of the Rose and serve. Practice. Okay? And in between Rose and you, there will be something coming up. That's why, what's the name of poet, wisdom poet? I forgot. Well, he says, O Rose, how pure contradiction there is. Yeah. How how pure contradiction there is. You know, the O Rose. He sees a lot, but the poem goes. But in the first stage, in the first line, he says, "Oh Rose, how pure contradiction it is." So still, he stand up right between Rose and person subject. But you see something pure contradiction between pure. We don't know what it is, according to the first level of experience. So it's something beyond, kind of abstract images. So we still continually to talk and listen to and serve both. Is that all right?
to reveal existence of things directly or simply.
I think in the dualism, the many different ideas you believe, or somebody believe, or somebody don't believe. But even though whatever you say you believe or you don't believe, anyway, already your existence is accepted beyond the dualistic sense, don't you think so? Dixon, you mentioned that do you understand the point, what I said? This is important. You said we are always looking at the human life, human world, in terms of dualistic sense. And then your question is, can we believe our existence? Can we believe the existence of the world? This is a dualistic sense, don't you think so? You mentioned. You asked me. Is that your question? But this is the dualistic world. But before dualistic world, whatever you say, I believe or I don't believe, you already, your existence is accepted already. Is that clear?
Yeah,
no?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not
of the relation.
Yeah.
Oh, interwoven. So,
yeah.
I know the not, but. Engi or not to them, I mean. Engi is not the inter. Well, that is a dual, more than you understand dualistically. It is not real because everything is so-called emptiness, nothing to attach to, but temporarily we are attached to it, where there is nothing to attach. That is a problem, we say. Don't you think so? That is a, you try to say? Well, sure, if I explain it, I think in the world it's dualistic. But through the dualistic, I think you have to see, you have to give something non-dualistic through the words. But people are tied up by the word. That's why people are stumbled over.
Our culture,
we exist in the dualism. So question is not the dualism is right or wrong, or non-dualism is right or wrong. No. Question is how to live in dualism and how to take care of dualism. This is a question.
Take care.
How to deal with. How to serve. Dualism. This is a Buddhist teaching. Anyway.
Dualism is kind of a technique.
Not technique. Fact. It's reality. Dualism is reality. We live.
Yeah.
But we have to see through it. That's why we have to see true reality. Anyway, true reality. Not only the reality we can see through our six senses. You know? Otherwise you cannot deal with dualism as it is. You know? And including language and words and feeling, your concept too. The beginning of Bindua?
I think it's in the first, it's in the early part, yeah, maybe in the first phase.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes it seems to me like that when I heard that line, that that is what our existence is, our individual existence. It's like an interruption. You know, it's a real tight swirl of energy instead of like the grain that would flow smoothly, and this is not.
Well, not already at the, I think for me, that seems to be a kind of, the something I would say, rock, little rock and little side of rock and the big side of rock in the creek. But the creek itself is going constantly. So this is a Dharma nature's world constantly. So we always say, so we always see the human world separately. That is already, we believe everything is separate and it's hard. It is what's called not. We only create a not. But strictly speaking, stream is always constantly going. So from this point, original nature of not you have created is nothing but, you know, returning to the creek of creek, flow of a creek, you know, flow of water. So very naturally, not is a disappear. So how? This is questions how. That's why. Why don't you open yourself instead of holding a nut, one nut you have created.
Well, what you really want to see is that even in a knot in wood, the grain is still there.
Sure.
It swirls around.
In many ways.
It appears to be solid and interrupted. So what you want to do, you don't want to try to not be a knot.
Well, whatever you say, it is.
You want to see these, that you are still, even the knot is still the grain of the wood.
It's yes.
Mm-hmm.
That is a consciousness always attached to it in many ways. But whatever you say, it is your attachment. Small attachment, or it is still fixed in the knot, or et cetera. Not, or not. whatever you say, it is a little attachment to it for us. So very naturally, the more you attach to it, the more that becomes getting the bigger and bigger. So very naturally, what you have to do is what? This is a very important point you have to do every day. So let it go. Whatever you believe, anyway, let it go, because nut, small nut, big nut, middle nut, all big rock, all are, anyway, they're functioning and in a little more dominant. So, more or less, anyway, everything returned to it. So why don't you open it? This is our practice. So that's why in the first level of experience, everyone expected this experience. Why do you love nature? So you just, how do we express love of nature? You just come and listen to and serve it. This is a point we want to do. So very naturally, you have to release a nut between the nature and you. Well, I think little by little, I think small shadow, many shadow is always waving in your life. It's very difficult, completely wiped out. It really takes time. Very minute waving shadow there. Do you understand? A ripple, kind of ripple of water. Very tiny ripple there. That is pretty difficult to flee from this one. So if you experience a big mat, in the past, of course you can at a certain stage you can be free from it. But still, the little sound of the little ripples is left. Is that okay? What I say?
Yeah, but I thought that you said let it go.
Well, I think the investigating is also very important. How can you investigate? You want to investigate that in terms of dualistic things or different world. That is a point. And then, if you investigate that in terms of a dualistic sense, it's really something happens, something which is completely different from... Yes, that's true. That's why how you should investigate. Okay.
For example, net is
you mean the network?
Yes. I think if every existence is right or not, of relations, at that time we have a net, very big net, as like our reality. Now I think this net is moved moment by moment, but very changeable one. If so, Dharma nature is this moving, or net itself.
The net itself, you can say net itself, but if you are attached to net itself, you cannot see the Dharma nature. So because net, whatever you say, not of existence you mention is a kind of form of your five scandals. That's what you mean, I believe. So that is, of course, that frame of your five scandals is Dharma nature. But if you attach to it, it is Dharma nature, But at that time, it is nothing but the dualistic world. So we can say this body is Dharma nature, or Dharma nature is this body. You cannot say either. So, what is the Dharma nature? Dharma nature is something you have to continually investigate. That's it. If you say this is a Dharma nature, okay, what? You say the Buddha nature is us. Buddha is us. Yes, it is. Why? You know, somebody says, everything is fine. You are okay. I am okay. Do you know that book? You are okay. Yes, we are okay. Everything is okay. What? If you don't make every possible effort to investigate this what, you are immediately attached to one-sided idea.
Is the desire to ask myself what is the desire? This is
Dharma nature. Sure, Dharma nature, yes it is. Yes it is, you can say Dharma nature. But that Dharma nature is no Dharma nature. No frame of Dharma nature, because you have to continue to ask. To ask a question means what means that you have to be free from any concept of Dharma nature and five skandhas, etc. That is investigating. That's why this chapter of the Dharma nature, first word Bhagavan then says, through the sanghaku, the surrender. Or I say maybe full commitment towards studying Buddha way. This is in the usual sense, I think, practice. Through the practice, then you can have intercommunion between scripture and you. So even how can you learn? How can you learn the Dharma nature? You know, the Dharma nature has no sense of, no frame, But temporarily, we say Dharma nature because it's very difficult to believe no frame of Dharma nature. So that's why we temporarily say Dharma nature. But what you have to experience is no frame of Dharma nature. This is an obvious, you know, important point. That's why if you understand it, or if you experience something in terms of a certain stage of spiritual life, then next, it is not goal. The goal is to let you be in the flow of stream called Dharma nature. Constantly what? You have to investigate to what? This is simple. I attain enlightenment. Yes, all right. What? You know? I am fine. Are you sure? I'm not fine. Are you sure? Whatever you say, I have to continue to investigate. And then, this is really actual practice to see into or to get into Dharma nature itself. Dharma nature penetrates. This is called samadhi, always. Some practice of samadhi. That is kind of a not usual sense of questions. Of course, questions. But question itself takes you to something. Something new. Something new, true.
Absorbed.
Yes. So more than the human beings. human beings seems to be one with the Dharma nature, but pretty complicated. That's why we are always going going zigzag, but frog and the birds and pretty straight. But unfortunately or unfortunately, they do exactly, I don't know, not consciousness, maybe some of consciousness, but.
So why does it say that, I mean, scriptures, or everybody say that it's such a privilege to be a human being?
Because this is not, what to say, not the, what to say, conceive? Arrogance. It's not human arrogance. Because human beings human beings suffer from their own life. Beyond, prior to poke your head into what you want beyond consciousness or unconsciousness, we suffer. We don't know what we are seeking for. We don't know, but human beings anyway try to seek for something. That certain effort to seek for something is beyond your consciousness. That's why suffering is very basic suffering. So it's coming already. So that is called dukkha, we say. And then we have to go through this. We have to go through this suffering. How can we create this suffering? This is called reflection, we say. Terms of reflection. Okay? We're always looking at ourselves. We look at ourselves means we look at the world simultaneously. So through the very deep reflection beyond consciousness or unconsciousness, we are seeking for. This is a basic suffering. Okay. And then this suffering is very deep. That's why, and also we have to go through this suffering. That's why if you go through this suffering, you can go beyond suffering. And also, you can become great laughter. Great laughter. That is called the great realization of the world. Then we can give our heart to any creature. This is a human, only human being can do. That's why the Buddha, the Saddhama Pundarika Sutra, other scriptures are mentioned by this one. But a bird, a pig, dog, mice, they are exactly fitting into the Dhamma and Samadhi. Yes, sure. But still, they are not discriminating. They are still taken care of automatically by their instinct. Very correct instinct. That's it. Human being also instinct. Or maybe in a good sense, I think we have intuition. Very deep nature of a human consciousness. This is an intuition, we say. Before your six senses work. Okay? So intuition. So if you live your life through the intuition, you just live like a frog, birds. Yes, it is. You are. You can. That's why we are seeking for something like that. But we don't know how. Because we have already been involved in conscious world. So we forget intuition. Intuition doesn't work well. It's there, but it doesn't work well. So that's what we try to nurture, educate, cultivate, that intuition. And then we come to pretty close to that, you know, rhythm of nature, like birds and frogs, etc. That's why through the suffering fabricated human consciousness, then we can see, you know, the, what we say, a perfect fitness. Perfect fit into for the universal life.
also going over, going beyond human consciousness. Okay? That's why our realization is very important for us. Is that clear? I'm not quick to discriminate between the human beings and trees or birds, etc. And also, I'm not talking about human arrogance. It's okay. Human arrogance coming from a comparison with others.
No, at that time, we don't need to know the reason of our existence.
No, beyond you need or you don't need.
Don't need
beyond. You say, I don't need, that is already you understand, you accept human world, dualistic sense. When you say, I don't need or I need, this is already the attitude toward human life taking, you take, you know, the dualistically. So compared beyond that one, you should take care of your life like this. Part of consciousness, still part of consciousness, but it's working quite differently from other consciousness.
So, you mentioned that point in the state clearly about minor vibration of consciousness?
Yeah,
that would be intuition.
Intuition too, yes.
Yeah, that would be the last.
Yes. But it's very pure in a sense. That's why if you command to this, then the immediate intuition gets the whole situation, not piece by piece. You know, then right after that, the consciousness understand piece by piece.
So you mentioned you said the final goal, so you should still be free from intuition.
Yeah, that's right. This is our only human being can do it.